Discipline is a lot more effective than motivation. Discipline will take you places that motivation won't.
What is it like to work with your grandma?
Please welcome, brilliant Giuseppe, a nonna.
She's got 12 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, 6 children.
What is one lesson she taught you?
Giuseppe and his grandma just won Creator of the Year.
About 7 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. The content creator industry can be very lonely.
What were your thoughts during that time?
It's going to work out. The best time to start creating content or following your business dreams, whatever, is yesterday. The next time is today. And it took me over 4 years to get my first 10,000 followers.
What was the beginning like for you? And maybe some advice you would give your younger self?
Yeah, focus on well-being, not being well off.
What's the best lesson you have been taught in terms of success? Success leaves clues. A podcast episode that will be a special one, not only because of the guest that I have sitting in front of me, but also because we are recording this on a boat. And I told you before, Giuseppe, I've done 500, 600 podcast episodes, but never on a boat.
We are on a boat.
This could be the first time someone gets seasick.
I am already seasick. Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Well, perfect conditions, mate. I'm so honored that you're here.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Yeah, of course. We got a nice gym session.
We
in
did. Before. Got a nice pump on. You did cut the workout short, but it's all good.
30 minutes. That's
30 minutes is too short for a workout, bro.
I mean, depends on your goal. I just 30 minutes is all I need. You got a good workout in?
Yeah, we did.
And I think everyone here can learn a lot from you, especially, I mean, I know you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know you already since, before you basically posted anything on social media.
Yeah.
You remember you used to work for, I mean, of course you remember, you're not stupid.
Yeah. When I first met you, I think you went on Robbie's podcast or mm-hmm. he went on yours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So podcasts are connecting us. Yeah. And you used to work for Plant-Based News.
Yeah, Plant-Based News.
And then on the side, I obviously always, followed mm-hmm. you, and you went, I think this was during the pandemic? No, pre-pandemic.
Yeah, it was pre-pandemic. Started, yeah.
That's when you started?
Mm. So were you one of the Vivo Life ambassadors?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember looking up to all the Vivo Life ambassadors saying, one day I want to beat those guys. Like, they were so cool, like Nimai, all that. And then I think I met a bunch
that's
of you.
That's when we met.
At the Veg Fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it. And that's when you did the podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So that's 3 years ago. I think this was 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, I think, I don't know how many hundreds, millions of views you have, almost 500,000 people on Instagram.
I know, it's crazy.
How does that feel?
It's weird because it doesn't actually feel like anything. I thought it would feel like something, but like when I first had 100k, I was like, am I going to feel like I have 100k followers? But it doesn't feel like anything. It's just a number, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's cool to know that I'm reaching a lot of people with the message I want to promote,
mm-hmm.
Which is plant-based food.
Let's start there. What is the message you're trying to promote?
So it's not really like set in stone, like black or white, but uh-huh. And it's obviously changed a lot over the years and it probably will change. But at the moment, and it's kind of been like that for a while, is just encouraging people to eat more plant-based and showing people how easy and delicious plant-based food can be. And also that you don't need to, you don't need meat for protein, basically. Because a lot of my foods, a lot of my recipes are high in protein and healthy, simple dishes, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to make it funny as well.
That's it. But also, obviously, like you mentioned, I do have a few other videos, like the ones in the street, which are quite funny, we can talk about, and also the ones of my grandma and my nonna, so uh-huh. we can also talk about that.
Yeah, of course. No, let's talk. We're gonna definitely talk about nonna, but I also want to talk about your beginnings. Do you remember a day where you said, like, this is it, I'm starting it, I'm going full in, this is going to be my main thing? Or was it a slow process? Mm. I'm just thinking of the people here, a lot of, young people who want to start maybe their own business, something on social media. Mm. Looking back, what was the beginning like for you? And maybe some advice you would give your younger self.
Yeah, good question. So I've never actually had that thought process of, right, I need to give it 100% right now. Yeah. It happened very, very gradually. So obviously I was working after uni, working for the Plant-Based News, and I kind of just did this thing on the side hustles whilst I was at uni. and it just generally got a little bigger and bigger. And if I'm honest, I probably went full-time freelance later than usual. Like, I could have gone full-time freelance a lot longer, a long time before I actually did, but I wanted to like make sure it was really going to work and have that security. Some people like to take the risk and do a bit sooner, and most of the time it does pay off, but I wanted that security and to make sure, like, listen, I can definitely like survive without this job. And that was the best decision I ever made, because like, it's obviously going well so far. In terms of advice, there's a cool quote. I know you like quotes, so I can share one. I can't remember exactly, but it's something like, if you're not embarrassed by your first company, first video, then you started too late. And I really like that, because it's when anyone ever starts anything like YouTube channel or even my own videos, when I look back at my first videos, they're so cringy and embarrassing and awkward.
Are they still online?
Most of them, no.
All of my YouTube videos?
Exactly.
Like the first one, all private.
That is the best time to start, because if you wait until the perfect moment, you'll never post any content because it doesn't exist. So I would just definitely say start. Like, the best time to start creating content or following your business dreams, whatever, is yesterday. The next time is today. And then just figure it out as you go along. Make the mistakes, etc.
What I also, thinking back, what I am noticing, you working for plant-based news was so smart, because I always tell people, if you want to do something as quickly as possible, try to find someone who has achieved what you're trying to achieve and be in that energy.
That's true.
Spend time with them. And you spending time with so many creative people and, you know, being in that social media space, you obviously learn a couple of things.
I met so many cool people and networks. It's weird though, because I never went into the job thinking that it was a smart decision to get to my next career. Like, I would have happily worked there for a lot longer. It's just obviously my side hustle ended up being the main hustle. But yeah, it just kind of happened really naturally. But like you say, yeah, it was definitely a good idea, because you should always surround yourself by people that are like more successful than you, people that are more wealthy than you, people that are more intelligent than you, so that you can constantly learn from them, I guess.
What were your most stressful thoughts during that time?
When I was working there?
No, when you started.
Oh, starting my
page.
Let's
say you had the idea at some point. You were like, obviously, I kind of want to do my own thing.
I definitely think in terms of income, because obviously being a full-time freelancer, content creator, influencer, whatever you want to call it, that you're not guaranteed a particular income every month. And obviously, if you're like living in London, you're paying rent, like you need to know you can afford it, etc. But I think you've got to trust your gut and know that you are able to like earn that sort of money and be successful with it. Things like management helps a lot, because they can obviously push and help to get you branded deals. But yeah, I'm very, very fortunate. I've not had any like really, really stressful times with it, to be honest.
So the most stressful thought was like, hey, I won't make it.
At the beginning, yeah, but I've not really had any difficulty with it.
Sorry,
I can't tell you like a really sad, depressing story. You can put some sad music on it, but no, it's a very cushy life.
So you just...
But I'm blessed.
Yeah, you were blessed. And I think... You know, again, working in that space before, you kind of knew, you know, how collaborations worked because of your work before. It wasn't like you went all in immediately, right?
It was very, very slow, yeah.
It was a process. It wasn't like an overnight success. You posted one recipe and like the whole shebang blew up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you then. I learned how to edit videos working there. So it's like that obviously is a massive skill that's quite helped me to do what I do today.
What helped you push through the... You know, challenging times, in case you had any.
Probably just like the perseverance, but also understanding that it's going to work out, and being in London and being in that sort of community with other content creators is so helpful. So I have so many people that are in my support network that do the same as me, but also that don't do the same as me, and it's just such a nice industry to be a part of if you're supporting each other, because the content creator industry can be very lonely if you don't have other friends or need people nearby. Like, I have friends, influencer friends, are in other cities in Europe, and they have like no one. Like, their whole town is just, they all work like normal 9-to-5 jobs, and no one's a content creator there. Whereas I think in London, especially London, it's just like, not everyone's a content creator, but it's just so densely populated, and there's so many events and like meetups, and it's
and
just
you can
so
push each other.
Yeah,
you can support
so
each
much
other.
Motivation out there. So yeah, I feel very lucky to be in a city where it's thriving for my industry, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I mean, that's the power of a peer group.
Exactly.
And, you can just save so much time when you know, support each other, learn. You're also big on collaborating.
Yes, I love collaborating. I love like supporting smaller pages and also learning from not pages, obviously they're people as well, but I love supporting people with smaller pages and also learning from people with bigger like platforms. So I think there's definitely like key things to learn from both. When it's the smaller platforms, they're obviously like really hungry and it's so cool to help elevate their profile. And then also obviously with people with bigger platforms, I can learn things like better filming techniques and better editing techniques and things like that.
How to film a podcast on a boat.
That's it, yeah. I never thought I'd be filming a podcast on a boat, but here we are.
See, maybe I'm going to make this a thing. Someone should podcast on a boat. Anyways, so what I hear is that you actually fits perfectly to the podcast, Success Leaves Clues. You are constantly learning from people who have more success in a certain area of life than you, and that's how you know, keep growing.
Yeah, I think that's the key as well to any sort of success, is to lean into other people's areas of success, because obviously there's so many people that are successful in like the finance world or like relationships or their health, etc. And you can't really just focus on one. You have to be, well, obviously for me, the most important way to be successful is in your health, physically and mentally, because you can't have success in any other aspect without having success in your health. That's a very good soundbite, by the way. We should definitely use that to promote this podcast.
We'll get there in a second. Yeah. But before, I wanna go even further back. Tell us a bit about why you got into, you know, like recipe creating, plant-based foods, health in general. Was there like a certain event in your life that inspired you to, you know, get involved?
Yeah, so growing up, I come from an Italian background, even though I sound like a northerner, but both my parents are Italian and I do have an Italian passport for everyone that says I'm a fake Italian. But yeah, we're obviously coming from like a Mediterranean sort of cuisine and culture, we've always eaten pretty healthy. And then I got into like intermittent fasting as well, which really like interested me and getting into more healthy. And then about 7 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer, like stage 4, which is like a pretty bad one. And that came as a big shock because obviously my whole family pretty healthy. And obviously, as most people do, I just went on to Google, like research, like, oh, what causes it? And basically over the period of like 6 months, I just did loads of researching, reading books, watching documentaries, reading studies. And everything pointed back to a plant-based diet is the best way to prevent it, and in some cases even like help reverse it or cure it, etc. And so obviously over a year of my dad being ill, I tried to like push this on him and convince him, and eventually towards the 1 year mark, he gave it a go because he was basically refusing chemo at that point because he just couldn't stand it. And then he had an operation, and whether he was like super lucky with the operation or a mix of him going plant-based as well, he basically managed to get into like a 3-month remission and then a 6-month remission. And now it's like 6 years later and he's still plant-based, feels better than he did before. And my whole family are vegan now as well, which is cool. So that definitely was a turning point in terms of the reason why I opened my eyes to it, the health aspects. I obviously looked more into it in terms of the environmental benefits and the ethical reasons for not eating animal products. And now it just feels like a second nature to me. Like, it's so easy. I can get more than enough protein. Obviously, it's easier in the society that we live in to get protein from animal products because animal products are everywhere. But once you've opened your mind and you've taken a step back and you've done a bit of research, especially now in a Western society that we live in, it's so, so easy to eat plant-based and get enough protein, etc.
I also like the way you talk about veganism, because you don't make it super exclusive, if that makes sense.
A lot of people hate the V word.
Yeah.
So I've not spoken about this much really, actually, but I've, for maybe about the last 8 months, I've taken the vegan word out of my Instagram bio.
Oh.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Oh. Well,
I'll give you my thoughts, but I'll happily hear your thoughts.
What are my thoughts? I mean, you should do whatever the heck you want to do, and I respect that when people say that, and I can understand that, because there are just some people forcing their beliefs on others, and I personally choose to not.
Yep.
Just I think I would have to call myself a hypocrite, because I will forever remember this story. My first girlfriend, we were together for 6 years, bless her soul, Christina, if you're listening, Still love you. I said, no, no,
take
no.
me back.
Take me back, man. No, 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 don't take me back. Don't take me back. I'm happy. anyways, she had a cousin and she was vegetarian.
Mm.
And I always looked at her as if something would be wrong with her. Like, yeah. genuinely, I have to be honest, I thought she's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, something is completely off. And then, you know, if, yes, at some point, I think like 7, 8 years ago, I decided to, you know, switch my diet. And I would just be a hypocrite if I would say, like, this is the only, you have to do this mm-hmm. and that. So my family, not everyone is vegan, mm-hmm. but if my father adds tomatoes to his plate, I'm like, I'm cheering, I'm thrilled. I'm like, yeah, let's go. This is amazing. And what, you know, we are so, so different. So I choose to believe, like, hey, already a bit more plants to your diet. That's already amazing. And yep. you know, you are unique. So try to
yeah it's a bit cliche, but obviously everyone's on a journey, and also we've got to remember that we weren't plant-based for our whole entire lives mm. so we can't really expect someone else to be at their point in their life mm. So yeah, the first year of me being vegan plant-based, I was very, very like pushy and like wanted
Did
everyone
you get a
to
tattoo
be
or something?
I didn't get a tattoo, fortunately, but
I have some
everyone...
friends with vegan tattoos.
Yeah, me too, actually. One of my friends has like tofu somewhere here in like a love heart.
We should get new friends. No,
that's it. But what was I saying?
Tattoos, vegan tattoos. You were talking about the word vegan in your bio.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I chose to get rid of the word vegan in my bio because I feel like it can kind of push some people away. Mm-hmm. And obviously, a lot of content in terms of recipes gets pushed to people that don't follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are seeing a new person, they'll probably go on their profile and they're like, oh cool, this guy has cool videos. But most of the time, if they see like the everything's vegan
mm-hmm.
straight from the bio, they'd be like, oh no, I'm not vegan, I'm not interested in this page.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they liked that one video and they came to my page and they liked the look of the others, they're probably more likely to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then hence I'm more likely to reach more people and then reach more people with my plant-based recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's worked so far. It's ever since I got rid of it, I feel like my videos are reaching more people, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously all my recipes are always plant-based, and but I can probably confidently say they always will be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just maybe like toning that down a little bit so that people don't feel as intimidated when they see a recipe that's like, oh, vegan this, vegan that, etc.
Mm. Yeah, that also reminds me of the video you filmed. Everybody go watch it, it's hilarious. You ask people on the street, I think a lot, it was in London, and you yeah. did it in LA as well, and name three vegan foods. And I was blown That's away so by how, you know, how clueless.
How stupid people are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
but it's not their fault, because we don't get educated really on nutrition. True. But also, like, everyone should be able to name three vegan foods. It's like, they think it's a loaded
name
question.
Three.
But it's literally like broccoli, potatoes and carrots. Like, but I think the whole vegan word has now almost been commercialized to be synonymous with a vegan product in the mm-hmm. supermarket that's like Beyond Meat or like Oatly Milk. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. even I struggle to name three different brands. And I think a lot of people think that with vegan food, but they don't fail to realize that vegan food is just like any vegetable and fruit, and people
whole
have been
grains,
eating this food,
you know,
for thousands of years. It's just not been called vegan food, it's just been called food.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nice. So your father is the reason why you started.
For sure, yeah. He's the inspiration of what started mm. the research, mm-hmm. and then I convinced him to do it, and then my whole family. But there's like countless reasons to not eat animal products.
You mentioned the word success before, and the podcast is called Success mm. Leaves Clues. I'm wondering, what is your definition of success?
My definition of success is being able to work on your own time, work on your own schedule, and when you want to do something, being able to do it without any friction, without any anything that's going to stop you from doing it. For example, saving up 3 months' wage to do it, or having to book holidays off to do it. Do you know what I mean? So my definition of success is basically freedom, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, I can tell.
Was that answer? Was that answer?
That was a good. Mm-hmm. That was a good answer. I would give you the same answer. I value, like, one of my core values is definitely freedom. I would say, and doing, yeah, basically doing what I want, when I want, with whom I want. I always say I'm unemployable.
Yeah.
Because I like, you know, I like
it's
to do my own
work.
I mean, yeah, my boss would probably confirm. I do love freedom, and I appreciate meeting people, you know, like you who do the same.
This podcast is relatively young, and if you want to support our mission to give you access to the most extraordinary minds, to the most helpful success recipes, well, then you can do something that takes about 3.5 seconds, which is to subscribe to this podcast. Gives us the ability to give you access to the most amazing guests. So just click on that button, helps a lot, takes 3.5 seconds. Thank you so much, and I'll see you later.
What would you say is the best lesson you have ever learned, or someone, no, what's the best lesson you have been taught in terms of success?
You could have prepared me for these questions, so I could have thought of a better answer.
I tried to, and we got here in the Uber together.
So what's the best lesson of success? Probably just believe in yourself, to be honest. Believe that you are capable. And it's not necessarily that one person has taught me this. It's just what I've come to learn over the period of like the past few years. Obviously, definitely in terms of like manifestation and all that, I don't want to get too wishy-washy, but definitely just when your mindset changes that you are capable of doing something and are capable of creating some sort of business or product or service, then it basically just happens. You just have to put the work in.
Starts with belief. If you don't believe in it, it definitely won't work, even if you have the potential.
Exactly, yeah. I've heard an analogy of like the whole manifestation stuff and how it works, and it's basically like, I think it was Stephen Bartlett that said it, it's like a sat nav in the car, and you can like set the sat nav to where you want to go, and that is the manifestation, but you still gotta like press the accelerator and turn the car and drive, and that is the human input than your own effort. So obviously that manifestation can work in terms of where you want to go, but you still have to put all that hard work in to get there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something many people get wrong with the word manifestation.
Some people think they can just like manifest £1,000 in their bank account, and
and just sit there and do absolutely nothing. Yeah, you gotta put in the work. Yeah. But
you've got to believe that you are capable of.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't believe it's gonna happen, it won't. Even if you have the potential.
Like a friend said to me the other day, we were congratulating him because he had a video go viral and had like 10 million views. Uh-huh. And we were like, "Oh, congrats! That's so cool." And he was like, "Yeah, it's never gonna happen again. So I'm celebrating it now." I'm like, "Well, that's not the attitude to have." Like if you don't believe that one of your videos is like successful like that, then obviously it's not going to happen.
I heard, since we're talking about quotes, attitude, your attitude determines your altitude. I love this one. Your attitude determines your altitude,
and also gratitude leads to higher altitude.
Ooh.
Kind of the same, but also
in which way are you implementing gratitude to your life? Do you have like a routine, a practice?
Good
saying,
question.
"Nana, thank you for making this delicious pasta."
So every single morning, since the 1st of January this year, me and my friend basically send each other our like morning routine sort of checklist, which is 3 things that we're grateful for, today's intention, and what we're doing today.
Wow.
So I've done that every single day, maybe minus 1 or 2 days since the 1st of January.
You guys are accountability buddies.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are, accountability buddies.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is,
we were only going to do it for the month of January, and then we were just like, fuck it, we'll do it for the whole year.
Oh, that is so smart. I would have never, I mean.
It's cool, man.
Wow.
It's on an app called Notion.
Ah, I know Notion.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's cool. And do you guys do calls sometimes?
No,
as
we
well?
Just literally send a screenshot of it to WhatsApp. Well, we're friends, and we meet up every day for the gym and stuff, but every morning we'll just screenshot it and send it to each other.
Wow.
And that's the first thing I do. Usually I'll read 10 pages before I go on my phone, then do that. Sometimes I'll write a quote that I've read from the book, and then we send it to each other, and then I'm allowed to go on social media, etc.
Wonderful. What is your working routine like in terms of social media? Do you have any tips to content creators here? Because I don't know how it is for you. I sometimes catch myself like, I want to post something, and I end up watching 15 minutes of Nonna videos, or 15 minutes of, do you know Hashpula?
Oh, yeah, the funny guy.
I'd
love to come up with an amazing bit of advice in terms of how to not get distracted on social media, but it's very, very hard.
Yeah.
You have to have a very, very like solid mindset. One thing that I would say is discipline is a lot more effective than motivation. So discipline will take you places that motivation won't. For example, like when you want to go to the gym, you don't need to rely, you shouldn't rely on motivation to go to the gym every day, because it's not going to happen. Some days you won't be motivated. Whereas if you just are disciplined and you know you need to go 4 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever, then no matter what, you'll go. Do you know what I mean? And I carry that throughout as much as I can throughout my work. So I'll do things like set daily limits on my social media, try and catch myself if I'm just scrolling like mindlessly. But I've started a new habit where I basically charge my phone outside of my room. And that's been really cool, because when I go to bed, I'm not distracted scrolling. It's just, I'm ready. If I want to listen to a podcast, I'll ask my Alexa to just play 15 minutes of a podcast. And that's been really helpful, because sometimes I'll spend hours just, and a whole hour before I go to sleep, just scrolling on TikTok.
Mm.
And then again, when I'm waking up in the morning, I'll reach for my book, brush my teeth, and not go on my phone straight away. And that's been really helpful.
Mm. I find it more difficult in the evening to actually be that disciplined.
Because you have to be tired.
Yes. Also, that might just be a personal thing. Like in the morning, I just function. I don't even think. Like I take my cold shower, I don't have to think about it. I'm just doing it every day. So it's like, you know, like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth, you do the whole shebang.
Yeah.
It's like if you do it for a month or two, every single day, it just becomes part of you. You don't think.
It's like breathing.
Yeah, it's like breathing. The same goes for the gym. I just every day, I do something for my body.
I enjoy the gym so much, man.
I think that's the trick. It's
so fun.
Yeah. I think you got to find something that is fun. Yeah. And that's why most people struggle, I think.
Yeah. And I used to train, or like, I feel like a lot of people would agree with this, like to train to look a certain way or to reach a certain weight or reach a certain accolade. But now I just train because it's so fun and I know it's good for me.
Yeah.
And probably more for my mental health rather than my physical health. And
same.
Yeah, I love it.
So the feeling afterwards is always the best.
Yeah.
That's why I try to focus on rather. I have the same thing. And I mean, it's easy for me to say.
And I think it's because of the kind of training I do as well, with obviously like calisthenics and pull-ups and push-ups and the bars. It's just so much more fun and better for you as well than just lifting like the same old weights all the time and messing up your ligaments and bones.
I like how we go from social media to fitness to blah, 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 blah. But I was prepared. So let's go back to social media for a second, just because I want to learn something as well. What do you think was or were one or two things you did that helped you to grow from zero to almost a million? You're getting there. Things that maybe I don't see, or we don't see.
I mean, the most obvious one is introducing my nonna.
Okay.
So, I mean...
So we all have to start filming with our grandma.
That's it. If anyone if you have a cute grandma...
What if my grandma's not alive anymore?
Then you're going to have to think about things more creatively.
Okay.
So when I started posting my videos, like maybe 7 years ago, so obviously first it was just photos, just like crappy little...
Say that again, 7 years ago?
Yeah. So okay. First it was just crappy photos of my vegan food. When I first went vegan, started posting photos. And then... Obviously, as Reels came around, started to do more of them. And it took me over 4 years to get my first 10,000 followers. So a lot of people fail to remember this. Like, you have to put in a lot of work for a lot of time. But at the same time, it didn't feel like work. It was just fun because I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of people are starting a page and trying to get successful and trying to get hundreds of thousands of followers overnight because they might have seen, like, one other creator do it, which was incredibly, like, fortunate. But generally, people with a lot of followers, they've worked for a long, long time just creating content that they enjoy. And so it took me 4 years to get the first 10,000 followers, and then another year to get like another 10,000. So a bit less than the first 10, but still super, super slow-ish growth. And then when it was February or March last year, so February 2022, is when I started to do the videos with my grandma, and I went from like 35K to 100K. Just in a few weeks from one video. And then obviously I just rode that wave for the next few weeks, posting as much content as possible. And then over a year later, and it's gone to like 400K, which is sick. So definitely riding waves when you get like big boosts in views and whatnot. And then the one that everyone says, which is just the hard truth, is just consistency, posting at least like 3 to 5 times a week, but also quality content. And have fun with it, and don't stick to one specific, like, filming style or editing style, just constantly try different things. Like, I've tried so many different things, like not just recipes, but interviewing people in the street, eating food in my car, asking people about food, like going to restaurants. And when you do all these different things and you let yourself have fun with it, you find what works, you find what doesn't work, and you find what you have fun with the most. And I think that's the most important. You've got to find balance of creating content to get views or go viral, and also just what you actually want to make. Fortunately, the content that I find is very fun and what I want to make lends itself quite nicely to the algorithm. But I definitely wouldn't like prioritize that in terms of what you want to create, if that makes sense.
Mm. Well, thank you for saying that. And I want people to...
Like I just chatted a lot of shit, but...
No. I think it's also so important to mention that it took you 7 years. People always see this term overnight success. I think it's just bullshit most of the time.
Yeah.
There are a few cases. Maybe that's true.
Yeah.
But you've worked for a long time, you know, to make this happen. And then all of a sudden, it almost reminded me of compounding, you know?
Yeah.
It just compounds interest. You have a goal and you keep working and you keep working and you keep working. And what I just heard, if I think of a success recipe in your case, it was consistently getting better and better and better and better, learning from others, joining a peer group.
Yeah. But most importantly as well, don't compare yourself to anybody else other than yourself yesterday. So the person you want to be should be just you in the future. What's his name? Matthew McConaughey. Took me a second there. Matthew McConaughey has got a really cool quote that he said. It's basically his hero is him in 10 years always.
Oh.
So even when he's like, when he gets 10 years later, his hero is still him, but 10 years after that. And I resonate with that a lot because it's so interesting just to basically have no one else that you're comparing yourself to, no one else that you're inspired by. Obviously you can be inspired by other people, but in terms of who you want to be is just you, but in the future that's achieved so much more than you already have, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Who's your hero in 10 years? Well, obviously you, but what is this you gonna be like?
That's a good question. So me in 10 years would ideally not just be doing social media, but doing other fun, cool stuff, like maybe a TV show.
Wow.
Having a few cookbooks would be really cool. Traveling a lot more, because I feel like although I do occasionally travel in terms of little holidays, I really want to properly see the world that I've not seen, like Australia and Bali.
You've never been to Bali?
Partly because of your incredible advertisements.
I think the Ministry of Indonesia, if you are watching at this point, I deserve, like, I don't know. But no, the island gave me so much.
I need to go.
Ever thought of a restaurant since?
That's a good question actually as well. I would love to own some sort of brand of a restaurant. I don't think I could ever work in one because I don't have the skills, if I'm honest. But yeah, I would love to open a restaurant chain for sure. Because my nonna used to own a restaurant for 20 years.
Wow.
And that's what, I mean, obviously, because she's Italian, she's good at cooking anyway, but she actually worked in a restaurant for 20 years, so she has so much knowledge and all that. So I'd love to kind of have like a full circle moment and see me open a restaurant, which would be cool.
Yeah. What is it like to work with your grandma?
It's very cool. It's interesting you use the word work, because nobody's asked me that before in terms of work, because I don't see it as work. It's literally just cooking together, having fun, and making food for the family. It's just that I happen to film it and edit it into a video, and it does very well on social media. But yeah, it's really cool. Off the back of all those videos, obviously we've had some cool branded bits of content, like we've worked with Lad Bible and Uber Eats, and like other vegan food brands, which is so cool. And it's nice because I am able to basically give back. Like, she's obviously looked after me for such a long time growing up. And she's got 12 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, 6 children. And so when I like do branded stuff, obviously I give her like money from it. And when I first gave her some money from like the branded deal we did, I was like, oh, what are you going to spend it on? And she was like, well, I want a new fridge and a new cooker. And then 2 weeks later, she had a new fridge and a new cooker. She bought it with the money that I gave her.
She reinvested it into the business.
She did. Exactly. That's smart. That's it. So it's just so nice to be able to give back and do things like that.
Wow, it must be so beautiful. Like, yeah. if my grandmother is not alive anymore, and I grew up with her, so yeah. I would have loved to do something with her.
I know, man. It's
but awesome. You know what? She would have never. She was the kind of person. She gave me money, even though I made so much more than her, and I was like, don't give me it. But she's like, take it.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of like grandma
yeah,
move
for sure,
when
yeah.
they when she tries to give you something like no.
That's it.
Shut up, take it.
Then my next thing I'm buying her is a sewing machine. So we were recently on a cooking show in the UK called Saturday Kitchen, which is like a live cooking show, and she absolutely smashed it. By the way, it was so funny because it was live TV, and she doesn't speak very good English, and she's partially deaf. So like, despite that, she did very very well on live TV. And during the segment, we were just talking about what she wanted to buy next. And she was like, oh, I really want a new sewing machine, because she's had one in her house for like 50 years. So I've ordered it, and it's already actually at my family home, but I'm not giving it to her yet. So when I go home in a few weeks, I'm going to like do a cool video of recording her giving her this like fancy new sewing machine.
Nice.
So that'll be nice.
Yeah, well, she probably won't know until then. She doesn't have
exactly. Hopefully, she won't listen to this podcast before then.
No,
so it's all good.
I'm offended.
Yeah.
No. What is one lesson she taught you?
Well, okay. So I'd say the biggest lesson, aside from all the Instagram stuff, is that.
And aside from cooking good pasta.
The best way to bring family together and show love is just through food, and like that's been such a constant thing growing up. Like we've always had such a great relationship with the whole family. Surrounded by food, like whether it's a Sunday afternoon or even a birthday or occasion, we always just get together and have great meals. And obviously that's sort of the Italian culture, but also it's just realized me how good it is to cook for people. And that's one thing that I love doing now, mainly because of growing up around that. Aside from that, just spending time with loved ones, and especially the elderly people in your family, is so important. And my followers remind me of that every single day, which I'm very grateful for. And so it's made me cherish even more so than I did before, cherish every single moment that I get with them and every single video that I make. Because obviously she's 84, like she doesn't look it, but she's 84. And I never know when the last video that I'm going to make will be, if that makes sense. So I just try to cherish every single moment and put as much of a smile on her face every single time I see her, whether it's like buy her flowers or buy her a new sewing machine, etc.
Quick one, but important one. If you enjoy this podcast, you will love our Fire Within retreats. We create not just retreats, but life-changing experiences, usually at very beautiful places. It's for everyone who honestly loves to grow. That's the only requirement we have. During those days, you will yes, have a blast. You will meet amazing people. You will cry. You will laugh. You will jump. You will do things that you've never done before. And for sure, you will grow. It's a perfect mix between relaxation, recharging, and growing and learning new things and creating the life that you really want and that you really deserve. You will walk out of there with a big smile on your face, recharged. Usually people who come to our retreats don't use their phone during that time. It's really time for you to reflect, to create consciously the life that you want. If you would like to relax, and I mean really relax, recharge, and learn life-changing tools, click the link that you will find underneath this video. You will get a special prize as a listener of this podcast. Thank you so much. And who knows, maybe I see you in Italy, in Spain, Austria, or wherever we decide to host a retreat. Now let's continue.
I can definitely, goosebumps by the way, I can definitely relate, because when my grandma got sick, I remembered, you know, the doctors told her like approximately 2-3 years, if everything goes well. I'm like, okay, I see her maybe two times per month. I can make that happen. Or maybe, like for some people, it's 2 times per year. You know, you visit your brother or your family. Think about it. If I live another 50 years or 100 years, that means I'm going to see my brother 50 times or 100 times.
Yeah.
If you think like that, I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot if you think about it.
No.
So I want to, when I meet them, I want to be present. I don't want to be on my phone and just kind of like take it for granted, but like really be there. And I love what you just said.
Thank you, man. I've never said it before, but it's true.
I gotta send the podcast to another.
Yeah.
What's the biggest gift you could make her?
The biggest gift I could give her?
Yeah.
Well, in a few weeks, we're going to Sicily, mm-hmm. which is cool. So I'm paying for all that. We're going to make some cool videos. She has basically 65 years ago, she left her whole life to marry my granddad and come to the UK. He's also from Sicily, but they came over to here for him to work.
They are from Sicily. I'm going to Sicily.
Of course. Yeah,
Oh, that can't be a coincidence.
Yeah. So, both my grandparents, my nonna and nonno, are from Sicily. They met when my nonna was 18, my nonna was 25, and they got married and then straight away came to the UK for work because my granddad was back and forth there anyway for working in the mines. And she left her whole family. She's got now four sisters. She did have a brother, but he's passed away. And obviously loads of other family. Her mother was there before she passed away. And I can't help but feel that that's must be so, like, obviously she's got her whole family here now, but it must be so hard for her to know she's got so much family there and hardly ever sees them and never even knows when she's going to see them again. And so I'm able to take her this year. We're going to go, we're spending like 2 weeks there and we're going to make some cool videos of all of her family. And that'll be just so nice to be able to cherish for her and also for me and my grandkids, hopefully, for a long time. So probably to answer your question, the best gift I can give to her now is just time with her family in Sicily that she doesn't get to see a lot. But in terms of like material things, I mean, obviously with old people, there's nothing really material you can get them, but I definitely think a new sewing machine is going to put a smile on her face. I'm probably going to buy her a new iPhone soon because it's nice to be able to FaceTime her and she's got this shitty Android and it's so bad. So I think I should buy her an iPhone so she's got like the HD video calls.
She doesn't have Instagram.
She doesn't. People keep telling me to make her one, but I don't want to make her one.
Yeah, probably even better. But she does understand what she's doing there.
Yeah, she understands. Oh, she doesn't understand how famous she is at all.
No,
not at all. When I tell her, I mean, it's even difficult for the average person like me to comprehend like what 20 million people looks like, and that's how many views one of our videos has. I remember thinking when I first started it, like just over a year ago, when one of the videos had 5 million views, and that was that's the population of Sicily. So that made me think like, oh my God, this is crazy. But yeah, she has no idea how famous she is. But she never even realizes when I'm filming her, she doesn't even realize there's a camera in front of her face. And I think that's what makes the video so special. That's what makes it so special when she's on TV and things like that, because she just does not give a shit, basically. She just is her own self. She's funny, she's cute, and it's just great. So yeah.
Yeah, you can also tell she's really proud of what she's doing, what she's creating.
Because she's an Italian grandma, like, the only thing she knows how to do is cook for people, really. but she's great.
Yeah. What makes you proud?
What makes me proud? Good question. Impacting people's lives in a positive way, I would say. I have no idea how to what extent I do that, but I definitely know for sure that I do it to some extent, because obviously my whole brand is about promoting like health longevity through healthy food, and a lot of people know my story about how it stemmed from my dad's illness, and so many people have messaged me to just say like, oh, your recipes have like helped me so much, your videos of your nonna have helped me so much. So that makes me really proud of the work that I don't really think about it that often, to be honest, like, until you've just asked me, but definitely just being able to impact people's lives in a positive way, whether that's through their health or through them just enjoying a wholesome video on social media.
Well, I think there are so many people you are not even aware of that you impact.
Yeah, like it's weird.
There's so many people outside who, you know, who don't even comment or send a message. And then maybe someday you meet them in person. My current intern, I've never read his name somewhere before, and he came to an event. He looked me dead in, like, completely seriously into the eyes and like, Axel, listen, you saved my life.
Wow.
And I was like, there must be so many people I don't even know. And it touched me so much. And then I told him, like, you know what, come work for me.
That's so cool.
I see the passion, I see the hunger.
Yeah.
In your eyes.
That's so nice to be able to do that as well.
1,000,000%. I wanna go to the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What is maybe something that you're doing right now that doesn't make you proud, or a thought that is stressful that you keep believing, that you keep repeating?
One of the most difficult things for me is one of the things I worry about the most is spending too much time on my phone. And also just like thinking every single day that I need to be productive. So one of the, like, sometimes if I've had a day where I've not edited a video or I've not gone to the gym, I'm just constantly analyzing every single day on based on its productivity. And so that's one thing I can definitely improve on. But it's important to know that, like, it's okay to have those days where you just watch Netflix or you just stay in bed or you just go for a walk or have a takeaway and don't eat super healthy.
So would you say the stressful thought is I'm not doing enough?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I have the same. And I think many people have the same.
Which is interesting in our industry when we're probably, in terms of productivity, doing like so much better than the average person with a 9-to-5. Because like notoriously,
I think that's what many people underestimate. It's probably going to be the same in your family, but you know, whenever I go to a family gathering, they're like, "When do you work?" And I always have to laugh because, you know,
it's kind of always on, always off.
I think, especially during my first couple of years of being self-employed, I worked from like 6, 7 a.m. until 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
And I think many people don't understand how much you can work.
Yeah.
I think that's the tricky part. If you're self-employed, there's no one who says, it's 5 p.m., go home. Or it's Saturday, it's Sunday. Or it's a bank holiday. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Me neither.
I just work, just work. And I think it gets even trickier if you genuinely enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm curious how it is for you. Whenever I take a break and I have to, like, I have to be very disciplined about, you know, my holidays and really plan them in. Otherwise, I don't take them.
Mm-hmm.
Always when I come back, I'm so much more productive, creative.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so hungry. So I'm curious, when was the last time you spent time without your phone or you went on holiday and just you didn't work?
Never. I don't think I've ever done that, which is very bad, isn't it? Like, every time I go on holiday, I love it and I have so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am thinking like, oh, what content can I make here today? Could I do a what I eat in a day? Could I do a have a day with me on holiday?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I definitely need to do more of.
Does it stress you sometimes?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I've never had like burnout or anything like that yet. Touch wood, I won't ever have it. But I do think there's definitely measures you can take to prevent you getting to that place. Like, the little habits I've mentioned, like charging your phone outside of your room, having a morning routine where you don't go on your phone until you've done things that make you feel good, like reading or cold shower, etc. And I think because I do those things, I'm putting practices in place that will prevent me from ever needing to be like, oh my God, I'm going to have a mental breakdown. I need a week holiday. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, definitely. I think, well, something that helped me is to have those phone free. Sometimes it's a Sunday, sometimes it's a Monday, but really have those days and be disciplined about it, because it is important, you know, to take breaks. And often my best ideas come from not working.
Yeah.
I have my best ideas under the shower, in the gym, walk in nature, playing paddle tennis. Do you guys call it paddle?
We call it paddle. Yeah, we need to play that, man, at some point. Yeah.
Definitely. So whenever I'm basically not working, that's when I'm the most creative, when I get the best ideas, when I get the best downloads. And often we think, like, you know, the best ideas come from like working on something. Mm. No, it's when you're still.
Yeah.
When do you get your best ideas?
The same to be honest, like, definitely gym, shower, walk, even like when I wake up or as I'm going to sleep. Annoyingly, as I'm going to sleep, I'll often, if my phone's in my room, I'll make a note. Otherwise, what I've been doing a lot recently, which is super, super helpful, is say if my phone's charging outside in my room, I've got a cool idea or I've remembered I need to do something, I'll just ask my Alexa in my room to remind me tomorrow morning to do it.
Lovely.
So say if I think of a cool idea, I'll be like, okay, Alexa, remind me to buy aubergines for this taco recipe tomorrow, and then I'll be reminded of the recipe I want to make, or remind me to email Axel back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Things like that. So that's really helpful, I think.
I mean, you could also write it down, right? But Alexa is...
Yeah, but if I'm about to fall asleep, it's easy to just ask a robot to do it.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. We have a ceremony here at the end of the podcast. I'm asking you a couple of questions. Are you ready? And I think I prepped you for this part.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
I forgot what it was, but it's fine. I'll remember it.
Well, that worked out well.
Yeah.
So, podcast is called Success Leaves Clues. I want your success recipe. I want the best advice you have ever received in the following categories: health, wealth, and relationships.
Okay, so each category.
Each category.
Okay, cool.
You can also say, I just do one.
No, I'll try all three. So the first one, health. It's not going to be super, super complex. It's just the first one is a cool thing that I came across in a book the other day, which was focus on well-being, not being well off, which is cool. It's like a play on the words. So basically focus on your physical, mental health, not having money. The second one, in terms of finance, will just be one word, and that's invest. Obviously, you can invest in your health and your relationships and elsewhere, but in terms of money, invest your money, invest your resources, your assets as soon as you can. Like, I don't really speak about it much because it's not really part of my brand, but I am very big into like investing in stocks and shares and property. I have one property, hopefully going to have another one in the next year or so. And just basically just setting up things in place so you don't have to rely on one source of income. I think that's the most important thing, and I've seen you talk about that as well in the past recently.
Like, definitely. Also, the tricky thing is there is not much education about that, you know, in school. I don't know how it is in the UK, but in Germany, but there's
intentional, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. Like, I don't want to try to play the guessing game. But you know, everyone has access nowadays. You can't say anymore, like, oh, I don't have. Everyone has a phone. Not everyone, but most people, especially in the Western world.
Yeah,
you can watch YouTube videos. You can
ask
buy books.
GPT.
You can buy books. There are literally books where people interview the most successful investors. They tell you what to do.
Yeah. I had no idea how to buy a property, and so I read books on it and watched podcasts on it and networked people on it, and then 6 months later I bought my first property.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how to do it 6 months before.
Yeah, that's one characteristic that I see and hear often when it comes to high achievers or people, you know, who get shit done, is I don't know how, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the finance one, the health one. What was it, on relationships? I don't think I'm very qualified to give good advice on this because I've never had a long-term relationship.
I also mean relationships in terms of like friendships and things of that nature.
That's interesting. So I recently asked my grandparents, I did like a cool interview with them. And one of the last questions was, what would be your best piece of advice? I'd said it to my granddad, he's 90. He's like a cool businessman as well. He's had a few restaurants over the years. And I just said, what's the best piece of advice you can give in terms of to have a successful life? And he just said, be straight with people and love your family. So I think that's a nice way to end it. Be straight with people and love your family.
I would add, be straight with yourself as well.
For sure. Maybe you can, like, that's kind of intertwined with it as
with
well.
People. Yeah. 100%. Giuseppe, thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for creating such amazing recipes.
Thank you for having me, man.
You inspired me also to I'm not going to do it myself, but my next birthday I'm definitely certain what I'm going to do, and you know it already, right? I saw Giuseppe did this birthday
pasta cake
and he started the video by let's offend Italians. Yeah. I was like, this is amazing. So it's a pasta birthday cake.
That's
right?
That's it, man.
And pasta is my most favorite
I'll
food.
Make it for you.
I love to cook for myself. And honestly, I have to say it. Every single day I'm eating pasta.
Wow. Like,
every dinner is almost it's some kind of pasta. I'm changing sometimes. Spaghetti, sometimes. What is it?
Fusilli. I like the way you say spaghetti.
Thank you. I didn't want to offend Italians. So it's always some kind of whole grain pasta.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. Add some tomato sauce. It's also so fast, so quick. But anyways, my next birthday, 100%.
When is your birthday?
22nd of May.
Nice.
When is yours?
February 19.
Good to know. I'll try to remember and send you a pasta cake.
Yep.
That'd be amazing. But anyways, thank you so much
for your time
being
well,
on this
man.
Beautiful boat with me.
Yep. And luckily the sickness is gone, the travel sickness.
Same. I kind of even forgot that I'm sitting on a boat.
Me too.
Keep producing that magic. Also say thank you to Nonna for being such a wonderful person. And every single time, so when I consume social media, I only consume from people where I have a good feeling afterwards.
Yeah.
So every single time I go to your profile, I know I feel light afterwards.
Yeah. Well, that makes me happy. Thank you very much.
I feel positive. It's always like nice energy. Mm. You know, your brand is, if I think about your brand, I think about tranquility. Mm. I think about fun. I think about enjoying life. You know, it doesn't have to be always like perfect and this and that. It's just it's just fun. It's love. It's I'm trying to find the Italian slogan that is summarizing it. Do you have something in mind? I was about to say La Dolce Vita, but I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, La Dolce Vita, I was going to say. It's just like sweet life.
Sweet life, La Dolce Vita. That's what I think about when I'm...
grazie mille.
Grazie mille.
That's the extent of my Italian.
You don't speak Italian?
No. Let's not go there.
Perfect way to end the podcast. Again, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. Tag me, tag Giuseppe. Tech Nonna if she has Instagram until then. And yeah, thank you so much.
And until thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, just as a little gift from our side, from my team, because you stayed until the end of this episode. 30 days of free Fire Within membership. I created the Fire Within membership to give you guys access to the tools that have changed my life, the lives of my clients, and give you also access to a community of like-minded people. We have guided breathwork sessions, guided meditations, guided visualization practices, really tools that enable you to create the life that you deserve and that you want. And it's one of the best things we have ever created. Hundreds of people, life events, sessions that will blow your mind. 30 days for free. You will find the link in the description. Thank you so much, and until next time.